6:14, prayers, if you can, if you do believe in that, or positive thoughts or whatever you can do for the people in Florida, because they are getting ready to get hit and hard by Hurricane Helene, and we can only be thankful that it's not coming here. I do know a lot of you own property over in that area, and I hope everything works out all right. And at some point, we're going to talk about later in the week how, depending on how bad the damage is in Florida with the reinsurance market, it could hurt the efforts that they're making here to lower our insurance rates, but we'll have to see how it happens, how it turns out. Weather-wise for us, nice. North breeze out there today. It feels nice and fall-like this morning. Highs today of only 86. Tomorrow morning, really going to feel nice. Lows on the North Shore, low 60s, upper 60s on the South Shore, and then highs of 84, which for people in the Northeast might sound kind of silly that we would be excited about this, but we are. Low humidity throughout the weekend. Highs of 88 into the next 5 days after that, and still no Arctic cold fronts or anything like that on the way. Ted Rossman joins us now, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst. Morning, Ted. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time. September consumer confidence fell the most in 3 years. That's the headline. Tell me what all of that means.
It's important because economists watch consumer confidence and consumer sentiment numbers to really gauge the path forward. You know, in other words, if people are feeling really lousy about the economy, they're less likely to buy homes and cars and invest in new washing machines and, you know, things like that. I mean, some stuff we have to buy, but the more discretionary, bigger ticket kind of purchases, it's something that people watch, and it can be a leading indicator of recession sometimes. And as you said, right now, people are not feeling so great about things. You know, people are especially worried about the job market. That's really taken over as the biggest worry over inflation.
Tell me how they conduct this survey. They just ask people, do they surface what the people feel through a series of questions, or do they just outright say, do you have confidence in this or that?
It's a detailed questionnaire. It's something that the Conference Board has done for a while with this Consumer Confidence Index. The University of Michigan has a similar consumer sentiment index that's been widely watched for a while. So it is a very detailed scientific questionnaire, but it's getting at things like the state of the economy, the job market, inflation. The consumer or the Conference Board's index was really especially downbeat on jobs. They found that only 31% of participants said that jobs were plentiful. This is kind of mirroring what the Federal Reserve is talking about, because as we know, they have a dual mandate from Congress. They're supposed to promote stable prices and maximum employment, and they've really been squarely focused on inflation the past few years, and then just recently have pivoted to more of the other side of things, and they feel like inflation's under better control, but the job market has been weakening. I mean, to be fair, it had been doing really, really well. The 3.4% unemployment rate we saw earlier this year was tied for the lowest in 50 years. And, you know, now that's risen about a full percentage point. And, you know, we don't want it to get much worse. It's still pretty low, historically speaking. But, you know, this is one that it's been ticking up in the wrong direction, so it bears watching.
I don't know, understand about this job market, because I talk to people that are in the you know, like Monster and these people, and they tell me that it's an employee's market, and they can look and move around. And I'm old school, Ted, so I'm of the ilk where if you get a job and you're doing well, you know, you don't just bounce around for grins and giggles. You stick with it. And I know that's not the way the economy runs these days, or the job market works these days. But I don't know. They talked about COVID, people doing the big quit and then finding a job that they want. And when I talk to these people with Monster, they make it seem as though, man, the jobs are out there just crazy. You can go be whatever you want, make whatever you want, do whatever you want, and dictate your own terms. But what this tells me is that that's not necessarily the case.
It feels like the pendulum has swung more in favor of the employer. You know, as you said, a few years ago, we had that whole great resignation thing. Following the pandemic, a lot of people reimagined their work lives. You know, there was a time that there were about 2 job openings for every 1 person looking for work. Now that's swung more towards a 1-to-1 kind of relationship. I mean, to be fair, the job market's still pretty good in the grand scheme of things, mm-hmm. but it's not as good as it was a year or two ago. Another key metric to watch is wage growth, which has actually been outpacing inflation for the past year or so. We need to see more of that. You know, that's factoring into this low consumer sentiment data because, you know, really, according to that University of Michigan study, consumer sentiment's only regained about half of its COVID drop. You know, you remember the pandemic set in, there was a huge drop in consumer sentiment. We've really only regained half of that. And I would blame inflation as the main reason why that. It's really kind of masked some underlying strength in the economy that even though the job market's been pretty good, even though economic growth has been pretty solid, a lot of people are not feeling good because inflation's gobbling up whatever gains they're making. We've started to make inroads against that, but it's been pretty slow going.
Yeah, let me pick it up when we come back, because I'm still trying to get a handle, Ted, on what the economy's like and whether the economy is good or bad or if it's that simple, because I think it all depends on what's working for you. I know in my life, throughout my career, it seems as though I've always been counter-cyclical to national trends, where when the economy was not doing so well, things were banging for me, and when the economy was doing great, I was not doing so well. So I don't know how you get an average on this, and when you talk about wage growth outpacing inflation, that tends to make me think it's kind of like a dog chasing its tail, where that's going to make inflation worse. But you can talk us through all of that when we come back. If y'all have any questions, 504-260-1870. That's the Oakland Heart Jeweler Talk and Text line. You text your questions in. I'll pass them along to Ted Rossman, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst, when we come back on WWL. I'm Tommy Tucker, 620. Let's look at traffic. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I don't mention this often enough, but you can follow me on Twitter, at TTuckerWWL. You can get sometimes my expert analysis of ongoing football games. I say that tongue-in-cheek because, you know, I got opinions like everybody else. But you can also send your questions to me if you have, like, them at times like this, as we talk to Ted Rossman, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst. Consumer confidence tumbled this month. Why? You can also send your tech questions in, text them to the Oakland Heart Jeweler Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870. So, tell me, Ted Rossman, when it comes to the economy, I don't know, my 401k is doing great, inflation's eating me up, I don't know if it's good or bad. How do most people judge this?
You're right, it is a very mixed bag, and this has been the case the past few years. I would really attribute a lot of this to economic inequality, and people are having different experiences. You know, you could come up with several data points that are quite positive. The fact that GDP growth has been good, and inflation has come down without a recession, and you know, the job market's been doing well, but there's negativity, too. I mean, the unemployment rate has risen almost a full point. A lot of people feel that they've been kind of left behind, that their wages have not kept pace with inflation. Credit card debt is at record highs. Credit card delinquencies and auto loan delinquencies are both at their highest point in more than a decade. So, you know, we see these conflicting indicators, and this has really been the case for much of the past few years. I would say that the pandemic years made economic inequality worse, and the gap has continued to grow.
So when it comes to economic inequality, from an economic standpoint, not a social justice standpoint, none of that, but from a purely economic standpoint, how much of a threat is that to the economy of the United States, or is it one?
It's a good question. I mean, the Federal Reserve says that the economy is in pretty good shape. Now, even there, we see some level of contradiction, because even though that was their mantra when they had the press conference last week and announced their first interest rate cut in about 4 years, you know, the other side of that was they made a larger cut than expected, 50 basis points instead of 25. And, you know, some people even there see a contradiction. It's like, well, wait a second, is the economy good or bad? You know, normally that level of cut is reserved for more of a crisis level sort of economic situation, and yet they're telling us, you know, things are good. And, you know, the answer seems to be that they want to get out ahead of any further weakening in the job market. And you know, people criticize the Fed for being too slow to raise interest rates when inflation was spiking in 2021 and 22, and then they had to do these larger hikes to play catch up. And, you know, the way this affects the average consumer is that the Fed is affecting the price of money. They're basically setting borrowing costs, and that can either slow or stimulate the economy depending on what they're doing. But, you know, even the most educated, powerful policymakers are not totally sure what to make of this. It's been a weird few years.
You know, so as I talk about this, somebody texted in and said, economic inequality, what he's saying is he's blaming people for their own success. You shouldn't be so be successful so that everyone else will be poor, too. I guarantee you this is somebody that is not in the top 1%. I guarantee you this is somebody that makes, I don't know, but I would guess they're in the lower 20%. But somehow, and I don't know anything about this person that texted in, but somehow the message has been gotten, has been put through that if you favor policies that favor the top 1%, the top 10%, you're doing it in the name of patriotism. And that's why I asked what effect it would have on the economy. Talk about, if you will, when it comes to unequal distribution of the income in the United States and wealth in the United States, just what the numbers show, if you would, Ted. And again, not from a justice and none of that, just from the economic, the number part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I have a ton of hard numbers on that. I mean, I could say that, you know, overall, the economy has been chugging along and has been growing. And, you know, I feel like one of the biggest themes here is, remember last year, everybody said there was going to be a recession. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, 100% of forecasters in some surveys were calling for a recession and feeling that that was really what was needed to break inflation. Now, the Fed has seemingly brought inflation down without causing a recession. But there has been this kind of feeling of rolling recessions, if you will. You know, certain sectors have been more affected. It's felt at times that there's been a recession in the housing market the past couple of years, and high interest rates have really dented home buying. Technology, media, these sectors have had a lot of layoffs. But overall, the data has been more positive.
Thank you, Ted. I appreciate your time. Ted Rossman, Bankrate, senior industry analyst. And I'm just talking about, for those that don't understand, I'm talking about the distribution of wealth in the United States, which is becoming more concentrated with the top 1-10%. Now, you might think that that's good for the economy, and that's your opinion if you think it is, or you might think it's bad. But I'm just talking about the numbers and what they are. And I think sometimes people that make $50,000 to $100,000 think that somebody's coming after them when we talk about income distribution. And I'm not going after anybody. I'm just saying that maybe, you know, that could be a problem the United States is going to face eventually. Top 1% of households in the U.S. hold 30.9% of the country's wealth, while the bottom 50% hold 2.6%. And the disparity is getting worse each and every year. 6:30, we'll talk to Mike Strain. We come back. Look, I don't take anything from anybody. I'm all for working as hard as you can. Right now, it's time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Chris Miller.